The following is an arrival lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 12, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So it is very, very wonderful to be back here in Suva with all of you wonderful devotees. There is nothing more wonderful than this Krishna consciousness movement, actually. It is the incarnation of Krishna. And even though we are such disqualified rascals, by the mercy of Prabhupada and so many wonderful devotees, we all have this opportunity to be members of this Krishna consciousness movement. So what does it mean to be a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement? It means you do whatever you feel like doing, do your own thing. Is that what it means? It means you're a Prabhupada man, that's what it means. You follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. This is what all the gurus are teaching their disciples, you see. By being loyal to my spiritual master, you see, I'm being loyal to Prabhupada. Because my spiritual master is teaching me how to follow Srila Prabhupada perfectly. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. This is the Prabhupada branch of the Chaitanya tree. It is the most powerful, luxuriantly growing branch which will branch out more and more and engulf the entire universe in due course of time. So we are the lucky pioneers in the early days of this great spiritual revolution. We get to be instrumental in the hands of our spiritual master and the previous acharyas in the most exciting, some of the most exciting moments in the history of the world. Right now, right here, tonight in Suva. Can you imagine? This is reality. Tonight we are reading from the fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Text number 7. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yoga yukto vishudatma vichatma jitendriyaha sarvabhutatma bhutatma kurvan api na lipyate. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone. Everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Purport. By his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Chakacharya Astatarasadashishima A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. One who is on the path of liberation by Krishna consciousness is very dear to every living being, and every living being is dear to him. This is due to his Krishna consciousness. Such a person cannot think of any living being as separate from Krishna. Just as the leaves and branches of a tree are not separate from the tree, he knows very well that by pouring water on the root of the tree, the water will be distributed to all the leaves and branches. Or, by supplying food to the stomach, the energy is automatically distributed throughout the entire body. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is servant to all, he's very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage his senses in matters other than the service of the Lord. He does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. And he does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. Therefore, his senses are controlled. A man of controlled senses cannot be offensive to anyone. One may ask, why then was Arjuna offensive in battle to others? Wasn't he in Krishna consciousness? Arjuna was only superficially offensive. Because, as has already been explained in the second chapter, all the assembled persons on the battlefield would continue to live individually, as the soul cannot be slain. So spiritually, no one was killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only their dresses were changed by the order of Krishna, who was personally present. Therefore, Arjuna, while fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was not really fighting at all. He was simply carrying out the orders of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Such a person is never entangled in the reactions of work. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bhada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. This is a wonderful description. Simply wonderful description. If we analyze it very carefully with a cool head, we will indeed find it to be strikingly wonderful. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. That's why everyone finds him to be dear, because he finds them to be dear. If you love someone, aren't they inclined to love you also? If you show your love to someone, even just walking down the street, if you're friendly to someone, just like I got off the airplane here in Suva, I said, Bula. And the man lit up, Bula. Because I showed some friendship. And he reciprocated. So the pure devotee, it's not just a matter of etiquette. you know, some hello, how are you doing? But he actually feels compassion for everyone. He sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone. Even his so-called enemies. He sees them as part and parcel of Krishna. And he finds them to be very dear, actually, because of them. So such a person has no enemy. Isn't that how we sing in the Six Goswami song? Dira, dira, jana, priyo, priya, karo, nirmatsaro, pujito. They were dear both to the gentle and to the ruffian. And the pious and the gundas. See, everyone. Everyone liked the Goswamis. They were dear to everyone. Because they saw everyone as dear, being part and parcel of Krishna. They didn't discriminate. Here's a man, here's a woman, here's an Indian, here's a Fijian, here's an American, here's white, here's black, here's poor, here's rich, here's old, here's young. No discrimination. Simply, here is a living entity who is part and parcel of Krishna. That's all. That's all. Therefore, they appreciated everyone. And because they had so much love for everyone, therefore, everyone loved them. So this is a symptom of one who is advancing in Krishna consciousness. Everyone is dear to him. He actually feels love for everyone. This is one of the signs, you see. A neophyte devotee, the only thing he loves is, you know, material things. He comes to the temple, he's, dear God, please give me this, give me that. Just like there's that one song that they sing. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see? They just want God to give them. God is dear to them if they get the house by the sea, if their kids get a Harvard education, if they can get their wife a silk sari. Then God is dear to them. Otherwise they say, God is nonsense. I'll become atheist. I'll teach him a good lesson. I'll deny his existence. You see? So that is called Kanishta Adhikari. He comes to the temple. He's not interested in having any loving relationship with the devotees. He just wants to come and get the blessings of the deities for material advancement, you see. That Kanishta Adhikari, he is also known as materialistic devotee, Prabhupada described. He's karmi, actually. But he's acting like a devotee a little bit. So we give him a little credit. All right, you're a Kanishta Adhikari. The next step, that is called Majjham Adhikari. The Majjham Adhikari, he sees, here is Krishna, the Supreme Lord, here are the devotees of Krishna, here are the innocent people that I can preach to, and here's those who are demoniac, who are blasphemous, better to avoid them when I go out for preaching. That's called the Majjham Adhikari. He's very, very respectful to all Vaishnavas. And he's very compassionate to all the innocent people who are willing to hear about Krishna. He's very compassionate. He gives his time, his energy, he gives his whole life, actually, to minister to those people who are willing to hear about Krishna. He's called the Majjham Adhikari. And then there's the Uttama Adhikari. He's the most elevated. He's completely immersed in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement 24 hours a day. So, by studying the qualities and the characteristics of someone who is actually Krishna conscious, We can become Krishna conscious. What is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, if I'm a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, what does that mean? That means that I'm supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? If I'm a member but I'm not Krishna conscious, I'm a member in name only. I'm not really a member if I'm not Krishna conscious. Doesn't matter whether how I dress. Doesn't matter if I'm initiated. These things are, if you're not Krishna conscious, it's just a show. The bottom line is you have to be Krishna conscious. And how do you become Krishna conscious? You study what Krishna tells Arjuna. There's no secret how to become Krishna conscious, even though it is said to be the most secret of all secrets, Rajaguhyam. It's an open secret. It's openly being revealed right here, right now in the Bhagavad Gita. We simply have to hear from Krishna. We have to hear from his representative, the bona fide spiritual master. And we have to put what we have heard into practice. Otherwise, if it simply remains theory, oh, it's a nice idea. I was preaching in Russia. There's one person who's very eager to learn more about Krishna consciousness. But this person would always say, well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. You see. I mean, that's good in the beginning, but you have to go beyond. Well, that's really interesting. You have to apply it. You have to put these things to practice. Otherwise, you'll lose your interest. We've seen that. One young man from Lanka, he bought a whole set of Bhagavatams from us. And he was so enlivened to study the Bhagavatam. He would come and say, well, I'm up in this chapter now, in this canto. He was so excited. And we said, well, you know, you should apply it also. Start chanting some japa. Put it into practice. He said, no, I just want to read it. Guess what happened? He reached a point where he lost his interest. Before he even finished the Bhagavatam, he lost his interest because he was not putting it into practice. If we actually want to become Krishna conscious, as described in this verse, then we have to be consciously practicing this science. We have to see, am I always working in devotion? Or am I working in a different mode? You see, there's different types of work. You can work in devotion or you can work in sense gratification. What is our mood that we work in? Working in sense gratification means I'm working and the fruits are mine. You see, I work hard and the fruits belong to me. That's called working in a mood of sense gratification. But if I work and the fruits are all for Krishna, that is called working in devotion. I don't claim anything. Nir mama. Nothing is mine. Everything is the property of Krishna. That is working in devotion. Pure soul, we give up sinful activities, illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. We strictly avoid these sinful activities because they pollute our consciousness. They do not allow us to taste the nectar of the holy name. We're trying to light the fire of bhakti, and if you keep pouring water, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, if you pour water on the fire, what happens to that fire of bhakti? It's extinguished. Therefore, all of our initiated disciples make this vow. I will never have illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling ever again. Strictly avoid. And I will chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And I will try to avoid the 10 offenses. So this is a pure soul, or someone who is becoming day by day a purer and purer soul. One who takes this process seriously, takes the initiation vows, sticks by them sincerely. Even if his guru is no longer physically present on this planet, the pure-minded soul remains ever chaste, ever loyal to his spiritual master at every second. And the beauty of doing that is that by that devotion, the disciple feels how his spiritual master is present with him. Isn't it a fact? Prabhupada said that about his spiritual master. So if we are completely dedicated to serving our spiritual master, even if he's no longer physically present on this planet, then he is present, actually. He is present within our heart, guiding us, and blessing us, inspiring us at every minute. Who controls his mind and senses? Sometimes people criticize, well, this Hare Krishna movement, you know, they control your mind. There's some cult leader who brings your... They use mind control on the members, you know. They program you, you know. You're a bunch, the Hare Krishnas are a bunch of zombies, you know. Mindless robots. They just mesmerize you and they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Everybody goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like a parrot, you know. It's like in Tavigani, there's a parrot that goes, Aribo, Aribo. But he has no Krishna consciousness. You see. I don't know what his, do they call him Hari Bol also, that his name? Anyway, he just goes, Haribo, 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 with no comprehension. Prabhupada actually said, you can teach a parrot to chant Hare Krishna. You know, you can teach a parrot to go Krishna, 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 but when a cat catches him by the neck, caw, 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 no more Krishna, you see. Because he's not really Krishna conscious. You see. So our japa should not be like that Hari Bol parrot, you know. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Simply superficial, you know, but no comprehension. He's actually just hungry. He said, and really he's saying, give me something to eat. Give me something to eat. Polly want a cracker. So, the real thing is, the devotee learns how to get free of having his mind controlled by outside forces. In the material society, we're being controlled by the media, by the government. We're being programmed to think, speak, and act in a certain way by radio, TV, magazines, movies, teachers, our parents. We are under mind control, actually. They're teaching us. It's like when you, in Taviani, when you get off the ferry boat, of course we flew, but where the ferry landing is, it says, welcome to Taviani, and it shows a whole line of different varieties of liquor. Just like about 10 different varieties of liquor. Taviani, you see. They're programming you to think, well, Taviani, now I have to drink liquor because I'm in Taviani. Simply programming. Our minds are being controlled by the mass media, by the government leaders, etc. So becoming Krishna conscious means you take yourself out of the mind control of these demoniac persons. And you bring your mind under your own control. It's not that the guru, you know, hypnotizes you and exerts mind control on you. No. Spiritual master trains the disciple how to think independently, how to think rationally about everything, about why do I exist, where do I come from, what is the ultimate goal of existence, etc. The spiritual master trained the disciple to become independently thoughtful. And the amazing thing is, after giving him all this logic and understanding, and then it's confirmed by all the great acharyas, because they have come to the same conclusion. That is one of the definitions of a spiritual master, by deliberation and argument. You see. That's stated in Bhagavatam. Spiritual master can give all logical arguments to establish the truth of Krishna consciousness. Even without touching the scripture, he can establish, because the modern society doesn't accept scripture. So the spiritual master will prove it by logic, and then he'll say, and it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. It is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, he gives the people faith in the logic, the sensibility, the soundness of the scriptures. They can be trusted. So the spiritual master teaches the student how to control his own mind and his senses. If the senses are out of control, then where do you go? You go to hell. Simple as that. For one whose senses are out of control, you'd simply go down to the animal kingdom. So such a person, he may be working in so many ways, but there's no karmic reaction for anything that he's doing, because everything is being done for Krishna. The more he continues acting in this way, the more he becomes liberated, actually. More and more and more liberated he becomes. So, this is our program. Each and every one of us should think, now how can I do this? How can I work in devotion? How can I become a pure soul? How can I control my mind and senses? How can I appreciate the spark of divinity within all living creatures? And think how to engage them also in Krishna's service by preaching, by making the temple first class deity worship, first class cleanliness, first class prasadam, etc., etc. By having a wonderful family feeling here amongst the devotees, so anybody who comes here will go, wow, this is the most wonderful place I've ever been in my whole life. This is like an oasis in the desert. We need to create more and more loving atmosphere in the temple. So anybody who comes in and go, wow, I'm not leaving here. This is a special place. I'm not going to leave. I want to stay here forever. So I can ask now if there's any questions. I do have a policy, but that nowadays, places where they don't ask questions, I don't come back. So you want me to come back again to Subha, and you have to ask questions, otherwise I won't come back. Yes. It's an outsider is asking the questions to save you all. Okay.
Gurudev, devotional service requires physical and mental strength.
Yeah.
Where such a neophyte as I am can get that strength as mental and physical?
Yes, where can the neophyte get the mental and physical strength? Well, you get physical strength from prasadam, by taking proper rest and proper prasadam diet. You will have very nice energy. And for the mental determination, you have to read Prabhupada's books. You have to understand this philosophy. We do not want blind followers. We want thoughtful men and women who understand what is this philosophy. Anyone who understands this philosophy becomes so enlivened, and this is the most incredible thing. Their mind will just be, enlivened like anything. To become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, read Prabhupada's books, take prasadam, and take rest as much as you need. That's the program for mental and physical strength. Yeah. It is speak up loudly. Yeah, go ahead.
How long does it take?
That depends on the quality of your worship. If you, with complete, total love and bhakti, you offer service to the deity, then immediately all of your lust goes away within a second. Depends on the quality of your service. It could take millions of years if you haphazardly or casually do the deity worship. It could take millions of lifetimes before your lusty desires go away. But if you will see that here is Krishna, He has personally come. This is not just a statue. This is Krishna Himself who has mercifully appeared here to save me from the horrible hell I've been going through for millions of lifetimes. Let me give everything to Him. Then immediately your lust will go away. Do you understand? That's a nice question. Thank you very much.
Apart from leadership, what else you have to do?
Apart from leadership, what else you should do?
Our process is called Nava Vidha Bhakti. There are 9 different types of service. Any one of them, if it is done qualitatively, will give you the same result. The most important one is hearing. And serving pure devotees, actually. If you want to know the shortcut, that's given in the first canto of the Bhagavata. If you want to know the special insider secret of how to immediately get free from lusty desires, anger, greed, and all this negative stuff, that's given in the Bhagavata. Shu shu shro shradanasya. Vasudeva Katarachi Sanmahat Sevayavipra Punyatiratana Sevala. By serving those souls who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Katarachi. If you actually have Vasudeva Katarachi, then you lose all taste for anything else. All taste for lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, finished when you get Vasudeva Katarachi. So all you have to do is serve pure devotees. Whenever you have the opportunity to serve a pure devotee, run for it. Fight for it. To serve a pure devotee. Because that's the easy, quick way. Just like when Prabhupada was here, we were fighting who could get in there to serve Prabhupada. Everybody was thinking, if I can just do a little service, I got in there one time and I was able to close the door for him, after he got in the car. That little bit of service, everybody's trying, jostling, who can do this? And he was surrounded by hundreds of disciples who all wanted to serve him at the same time. So if you could even do one little thing, that was a big accomplishment. I got to shut the door for him. That was big. Somebody else got to open the door for him. Help him put his shoes on. Oh my goodness, This service for pure devotees. This is the secret of how immediately you can get the taste for Krishna consciousness. So whenever the pure devotees are there, you should serve, everyone should be running to serve them, because that's how everybody will become Krishna conscious very quickly. That's the fast track. Vasudeva Sushu Shoshananasha. Any other questions? Yeah.
Krishna consciousness, we chant Hare Krishna so that our mind is in control. And we pray to Krishna, blessing prayer, samsara dava, mukti prayer. What about praying for others, other individual fallen souls? Like when I was in the church, they used to pray for, oh Lord, please bless all the people. Let them know what God Why do you mean Hare Krishna when you pray like that way?
You see, in our movement we are doing so many things, chanting so many mantras, we have mangalarti, different prayers, but why not be doing for others' benefit, pray for others' benefit?
What makes you think we're not praying for others' benefit? I don't understand.
Like when I was a chaste, we pray, the pastors we pray that, oh Lord, please bless all the people. But we don't pray that way. Right?
See, when he was in church, the pastor used to pray.
When he was in church? When you water the tree, do you water the leaves and branches or do you water the root? These other religionists, they are watering the leaves, that's all. And therefore the tree is not growing properly. We are watering the root. Our program is, actually it's stated in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a verse like that. Let there be all auspiciousness for all living entities throughout the whole universe. That is our prayer. You think we're not doing that? We're doing it better than anyone because we know the actual science. When you serve Krishna, then automatically you're doing the best service for every living entity throughout the totality of existence. Actually, we are the only ones who are actually praying for everyone. We're actually praying for them in an effective way that will help them. Don't be sentimental and fooled by the so-called do-gooders who pass out turkeys on Thanksgiving. They're simply condemning that person to become a... Do they do that in Fiji? In America, it's a big thing. You don't have Thanksgiving and turkeys here. In America, it's a big tradition. The pilgrims who came from Britain to settle in the New World had a big dinner to thank God that they made it. And they killed a bunch of turkeys, wild turkeys, and they ate them and thanked God. You see. So it became a tradition. In America, every year it's called Thanksgiving. So everybody buys a big turkey bird at the grocery store. They take it home and they cook it and they eat the bird to thank God, you know, for America, you know. And for the poor people, they pass out free turkeys on Thanksgiving. You see. I think, oh, we're doing such a great service. You know, we're giving the poor people a free turkey on Thanksgiving. They don't realize that they're forcing that poor man to become a turkey in his next birth. And that the one who gave out the turkey, he will become a turkey for each turkey he distributed to the poor people. That's their so-called praying for the benefit of everyone, you see. So we are not fools, we are not sentimental fools to be carried away by this stupidity, this asinineness. We're not carried away by it. We can see through it. Because we are seeing through the eyes of Shastra, not through the eyes of mental concoction. You understand? Yeah. Anyone else have a question? Come on. Speak up. It's stated in the scripture that the intelligence is a feminine quality. So surely some of the women have questions. No? All right.
Can a devotee himself assess his spiritual progress?
Can a devotee himself assess his spiritual progress? If he is expert, yes. If he's not expert, no. So I'm sure you'd like a further explanation. It is stated that just as by eating you become nourished, satisfied, and your hunger is eradicated, similarly by practicing Krishna consciousness, you can actually experience love, direct perception of the Lord, and detachment from all other things. So just like Prabhupada gives the example, someone doesn't have to tell you your belly is filled up. You know. Just like during the feast, you know, they bring around first. Oh, great, yeah, come on. Second, yeah, come on. Third. Why did you refuse the third? Did someone tell you to refuse the third? No, you know your belly is filling up. You're getting stuffed now. You can feel it. No one has to tell you. You're getting stuffed now. You shouldn't take anymore. No, you know not to take anymore. Of course, for some, it may be fifths before they say no. You know, for some, even for seconds, they'll say no. Depends. Prabhupada said, the old man, the under-eating mistake is very good. So anyway, and for the young man, the overeating mistake is very good. Like this boy here. So, the point is that if you're, one can actually, if one is actually feeling love for Krishna, awakening within one's heart, one's attracted to the holy name, one is attracted, when he hears the madanga beat, he just wants to dance in the kirtan, you see. When he feels this transcendental bliss, then he knows, yes, I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness. When he thinks, I just want to be with my guru and serve him forever, that's my only desire, you see. Then he knows, yes, I'm advancing. Devotional sentiments are clearly described in the scriptures. When you start feeling them yourself, then you know you're advancing. Of course, if you think, I'm advanced, then you're in trouble. Because the more you're advanced, the more you feel yourself fallen, actually. That's the reality. I remember one of my very, very advanced godbrothers who had now departed, His Holiness Sridhar Swami. He said, here I am, still struggling. He was very advanced about it. He felt, I am struggling. I'm at war with Maya. It's a big struggle. You see. He was very advanced about it. If someone thinks, well, I'm advanced now. I have no more lust. I have no more greed. I have no more anger. I'm really advanced now. Everyone bow down to me. You see, I'm advanced. You're in trouble if you think like that. Big, big trouble. It happened in our movement. Many devotees thought they were very advanced because they had many disciples. They had big, big projects. And where are they now? Some of them won't even chant Hare Krishna. If you say Hare Krishna to them, they won't even answer back Hare Krishna. They've fallen so far. Someone should never think that I am advanced. The more you can realize that you are fallen, that you are struggling with the senses in this mind, to try to keep them fixed in Krishna consciousness. That is your actual advancement. Does that answer your question adequately? Okay. So far, only two people are asking questions. Why are not you all not asking questions? Are you dull? Dull head? I think you're intelligent. You look like you're intelligent. You must have some question. You're not dull-headed. I can see you. Bright-faced devotees, you must have some question. Yeah.
In the beginning, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you chant around very nicely. You chant and hear very nicely. It takes longer time for the chant. But slowly, slowly, when you develop Krishna, you chant fast around. Then slowly, the taste fades away.
So in the beginning, when you come to Krishna consciousness, then we chant around properly. And we have taste.
You chant?
Chanting Hare Krishna.
You chant Hare Krishna properly?
Properly, yes.
Uh-huh. And after a while, you begin to do it improperly?
Later on, he loses the taste.
Ah. So what is the question then? Why does that happen? Yeah. So in the beginning, one may have great taste for Krishna consciousness. After a while, he loses that taste. So what does that mean? That means he never really had the taste. Because if you have the taste, you really have a taste for Krishna consciousness, that taste will grow and expand without limit. That means that what they thought was taste for Krishna consciousness was just, it was within the modes of nature. It was still within the modes. They weren't really on the transcendental platform. It's like, it's very exotic and new and different to be practice Krishna consciousness. So that's a happiness in the mode of passion. Do something exotic and different. So after a while, it's no longer exotic and different because you've been doing it for a few months. Now you're thinking, well, what's more exotic and different from this? Now let's find something else new and exotic. So if one loses one's taste, it means their practice was in the mode of passion. They never really got to the transcendental platform. So how do they repair themselves? They have to seek guidance how to actually come to the transcendental platform, where it will go on increasing and increasing and increasing without end. Those who lose their enthusiasm were not situated properly in the transcendental platform. They were in executing devotional service in the mode of passion, which gradually wears out. So we have to situate ourselves solidly in sattva gun, practicing in sattva gun, which is based on knowledge. Study the books very carefully. Know what you're doing and know why you're doing it. Don't blindly follow this process. If you do that, you'll be solidly situated in sattva gun, which will then gradually turn into shuddha sattva. That's the key. One has to act with knowledge, not blindly. And then the result will come. You won't lose your taste. And taste will grow and grow and grow more and more and more. Yes.
Is it that you can also lose taste by committing offenses?
That's right. The greatest enemy, the question is, can you lose taste by committing offenses? That means you weren't acting in knowledge, obviously. A devotee who acts in the mode of passion, he's like a bull in a china shop. You see? He comes in, okay, I'm taking over, you know, whatever department he goes into, he wants, okay, I'm in charge now, you do what I say, because I say so. Kind of a mood, you know. He may get a lot, accomplish a lot, but after a while he'll be gone. Because he was acting in the mode of passion. So one who is in a passionate mode, he'll naturally be offensive because he wants to put himself forward as better than everyone else. So they actually go hand in hand, these points. So we have to be careful to properly respect the devotees. That's the worst offense, to be offensive towards a Vaishnava. If you plant a devotional creeper, you water it regularly, you keep the weeds from growing. But the most important thing is to build a very strong fence, otherwise the mad elephant, a Vaishnava Aparadha, will come tromping in and go, whew, he will stamp on your bhakti lata, and it'll be finished. So how do we avoid being offensive towards devotees? That's the saying in a negative way. Don't be offensive. Don't be offensive, you see. That's the negative way. Okay, okay, okay. But how do you not be offensive? Some people say, well, I'm just going to go into the closet, you know, and hide, and therefore I won't be offensive to anyone. That's the Mayavadi program, you know. I don't want to be offensive, so I'm just going to go to the Himalayas, you know. I'm just going to go to the ocean, by the ocean in some cave, and sit there forever, chant Hare Krishna. You see, that doesn't work. What you have to do is take the proactive stance, and that is to always worship and appreciate Vaishnavas. Even in America, there was one karmi, his name was Will Rogers, Mr. Will Rogers. And he was famous for one saying, I never met a man that I didn't like. He always tried to find something he liked in everybody. And he became very famous and popular man. It's because he tried to like something in everybody that he met. He became a very famous man. There's an airport named after him in the capital city of Oklahoma. Will Rogers International Airport. He became a famous name because he always wanted to see the good in everybody that he met. So that's actually a good instruction for us as devotees. Even if you don't get along well with somebody, you say, "Buddy, he has this good quality." You see? Always try to see something good in every single devotee. Every single devotee, the neophytes, the advanced, the intermediate, everyone, try to find something good about them that you can appreciate them for them. And then naturally you won't be offensive. That's the easy way to avoid offenses. Find a way to worship every single devotee. What does Narottam Das Thakur say in this connection? Do you know that song? Namasankirtan. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade majayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna mantra. Worship the holy Dham, Shri Vrindavan Dham. And always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Shri Guru Vaishnava pade majayaman. Always engage your mind in worshiping the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Just like tonight, you have given me very nice Guru Puja. You have worshipped me as Guru. But also you should worship each other also. You see, not just you worship only Guru, but not Vaishnavas. You see. Just as you're worshiping Guru, not that you have to offer arti to every devotee, but that mood of loving appreciation, you should have that towards every single devotee. You see. Then there will be no offense. And then you'll develop taste. Very, very nice taste of chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. There will be a class in the morning. Everyone come. 7 o'clock, be here on time. Mangal Arati is at what time?
4:30.
Yeah, my hearing is really bad today. The plane might have didn't clear the pressure. 4:30 a.m., everyone, as many as possible, be here. Let's pack the temple room tomorrow for Mangal Arati. If you act with enthusiasm, what will be the result? You'll become enlivened. You say, "Well, I don't feel enlivened, so how can I be enthusiastic?" Just act enthusiastically. Even if it seems artificial, just do it, and the energy, the enlivenment will automatically come. I guarantee it. Try it. You'll like it. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Srimad Sankarsana Dasa Tinkari Gurudev Ki Jai.